On this week's show, the United States Postal Service has a stealthy little price increase, eBay and Etsy announced their third quarter business results, and Poshmark gets ready to celebrate their second Secondhand Sunday. What is up, Galaxians? Welcome to episode number 225 of the Galaxy CDs, Rocks, and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Hey, if this is your first time here, my name is Ryan, and I'm a full-time reseller, part-time YouTuber, and podcaster working out of my home here in the greater Cincinnati area, and this channel is all about the flip life. I have not done that intro in a while, but hey, welcome to the show. Lots of new people watching, particularly on YouTube, and I do have, actually for you, I guess it's a bit of a surprise. I got a new screen format for the news and what sold updates. So I look forward to that in something like 30 odd seconds. we do have some interesting stuff that sold this week, and we do have a little bit of news. Some strange goings on with the post office, and then some good news and some not so good from eBay and Etsy. So let's just jump right in to the reselling news.
News updates.
You can let me know what you think of this new screen format. If you happen to be watching on YouTube, you can let me know in the comments down below. I don't know how many people actually even look at the screen while we're doing this, but I think a lot of folks just listen, which is totally fine, totally fine. But I wanted to try to freshen this thing up a little bit. So this is your new screen, and you can let me know what you think. First up on the news, this actually was first brought to my attention directly from Pirate Ship, and it primarily affects platforms like that, which we'll get into, but the United States Postal Service is raising rates through certain platforms and marketplaces. This article appears on E-commerce Bytes, and I will link to this in the show notes and the video description below. As always, sellers who use certain platforms and marketplaces to purchase United States Postal Service shipping labels will pay higher rates effective November 18th on some services, according to an announcement from one such platform, which was, of course, Pirate Ship. They told their sellers this week that the post office is raising rates for what they called Connect e-commerce, which is a program that allows platforms and marketplaces to offer discounted shipping rates to their merchants. According to the USPS website, there's some other platforms that use this, most of which, frankly, I had never heard of. Label, Shipping Easy, DPS, Easy Ship, Ship Key, Ship Engine, Agilis, and International Bridge. If you use one of those, let me know. down in the comments below, there's no indication whether this affects labels on eBay, Etsy, Mercari, any of the other platforms. But this is definitely going to affect people who are using those platforms and Pirate Ship. The actual memo from Pirate Ship said, priority flat mail rate is increasing up to 6% because USPS is removing this service from the Connect e-commerce program that provided secret discounts below commercial pricing, so the rates are returning to commercial pricing levels. Weight-based priority mail is increasing up to 10% in zones 1 through 4, but it'll still have discounts that are cheaper than commercial pricing. So it's still going to be a little bit better than maybe what you could get elsewhere, but not what it has been in the past. Dimension-based priority mail cubic, which is a big plus for Pirate Ship in particular. I use their cubic all the time. It is increasing a whopping 23% in zones 1 through 4 for tiers 0.4 and 0.5. So the largest package sizes for this service are getting more expensive in the lowest zones, but the rates again will still be cheaper than traditional commercial pricing. There is some good news in this change. Ground Advantage is actually decreasing up to 16% in zones 1 through 5, depending on the size and weight of the package. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Priority mail is essentially in the regular guys and in the cubic, which Pirate Ship uses almost exclusively, is going up in some cases a pretty substantial amount. So you may want to look into this if you're using their service and start comparing again to what eBay is offering to make sure you're still getting the best rates. My guess is that they'll be still very competitive. I don't know. I haven't looked at eBay rates in a long time. I don't know if they use the cubic rate that Pirate Ship has been famous for over the years, which has been super, super cheap. But if not, they'll probably still be fairly close in price. The Ground Advantage decrease is nice if you're like me and you ship 90-odd% of your packages by media mail. None of this will affect you anyway. Remember, Media Mail is going to see a price increase, however, in January. So let me know what you think of that. If you are a user of any of those services, particularly Pirate Ship, be on the lookout for that. It goes into effect again on November 18th. eBay and Etsy both reported quarterly earnings, and they had somewhat similar stories. eBay actually had probably better news for third quarter than Etsy did, but both had fairly dim outlooks for fourth quarter, which kind of runs counter to what we talked about last week when the National Retail Federation said they expected online sales to grow by 7%. eBay's results included revenue of $2.5 billion, which was up 5%. Gross merchandise volume was $18 billion, which was up 2%. So both of those are good news. I've reported on quarterly earnings now for quite some time on this show, and this is the first time I can recall in quite a while that those two numbers were both up at all. So that's good news. eBay also returned $783 million to shareholders in Q3, including $651 million of share repurchases, which they've been doing pretty much every quarter, and $132 million paid in dividends. In Q3, they said, "We met or exceeded expectations across all of our key financial metrics," said Steve Priest, Chief Financial Officer at eBay. "Our strong balance sheet and operational rigor enable us to adapt to the evolving changes in this dynamic macro environment. We will continue to be prudent with cost efficiencies, saving to invest for the future while remaining good stewards of capital for our shareholders." Notice, as always, there's no mention of their sellers in any of this. It's all about their shareholders. "I'm proud of our teams for laying the groundwork for long-term sustainable growth." One other bit of news to note, they generated $862 million of operating cash flow and $777 million of free cash flow from their continuing operations. Part of this has been their continued growth of their advertising programs. eBay's first-party advertising products, primarily driven by Promoted Listings, delivered $345 million of revenue in the third quarter, which was up 39%, which is a big, big number. The company's total advertising offerings generated approximately $366 million in revenue in the third quarter, which was roughly 2% of their total gross merchandise volume. And remember, those ad dollars are essentially pure profit. So roughly half of their profit or half of their free cash flow came from people that use Promoted Listings Standard and Promoted Listings Advanced. So good news across all of those fronts, really, for eBay. However, they did note, and it doesn't really talk about it too much in this article, that they expected fourth quarter growth to be potentially even negative. There's no real mention of it. They just show this chart. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it on your screen. Their Q4 guidance for this year, they're projecting between $2.47 and $2.53 billion in revenue, but that would be a negative 1% to a plus 2%. And remember, the group last week said they expected online growth of 7%. So the poobahs at eBay are not projecting nearly as strong a fourth quarter as the National Retail Federation. So that I found to be quite interesting. Etsy, similar story. Their results for Q3 were actually what this article over on The Motley Fool calls lackluster. They had a decent Q3 earnings report, but their Q4 guidance, again, was not great. The financial results, it says, were lackluster in the third quarter, despite e-commerce sales heating up elsewhere, like on Amazon, and Etsy management provided no such rosy outlook for the final quarter of the year. First, they say the good news, Etsy did report that gross merchandise sold, GMS, on its marketplace tallied $3.04 billion in Q3, and revenue of $636 million did come in above the midpoint of its most recent guidance. So they had a relatively successful Q3. Adjusted earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, profit margin of 28.4%, which is pretty solid, also exceeded their guidance, and free cash flow generation remained strong in the quarter at nearly 33%. So that's pretty good. Their profit margin numbers are pretty good. This writer does point out, though, that you need to remember that part of those profit margins got a bump thanks to the sale of the Brazilian marketplace LO7 midway through Q3. I did a story on that on this show it's probably been a couple of months ago now, where they sold that firm for next to nothing. It wasn't fully disclosed what the amount was. They had purchased it back in 2021 for $217 million, and the expectation was that it sold for pennies on the dollar. They were able to report that somehow as profit, however. So some of the sales and profit were related to the sale of that, which unfortunately is also going to contribute to their rather weak fourth quarter guidance. Their new guidance in the final months for the year disappointed, according to this article. After achieving modest mid-single-digit percentage growth through most of this year, Etsy management projects a slight decline in Q4. So again, even worse than what eBay is projecting, they're coming straight out and saying that they expect their business to fall year over year in Q4. Again, the sale of LO7 is affecting this somewhat because they are going to lose some transactional volume through the loss of that business wing. But management was clear that a hyper-competitive retail industry, particularly in what they consider higher-end consumer discretionary, which they say think non-essential shopping items, is also hurting. CEO Josh Silverman and the team are focused on growing profitably, and they want to grow in Q4 without hurting the bottom line much or at all. So they're focused on maintaining those margin percentages, not necessarily just chasing gross sales at the expense of profit, which is an interesting strategy because most of these firms are just chasing sales. Amazon has been notorious for that for decades. That's the only thing they care about is market share and volume. You're starting to see a little bit of a shift over there. Etsy has just come right out and said it. They're after profit, not necessarily sales volume. This article, which is, of course, aimed at investors, says they should expect low single-digit decline in gross merchandise sales compared to last year, though management admitted things could get worse given the higher interest rate environment that's biting the global consumer. We talked about that in last week's episode, how that might impact Q4 and 2024. And here, the geniuses and the leaders over at Etsy are echoing pretty much my sentiment from last week, is that this debt crunch that Americans in particular, but people everywhere are facing, could impact these firms' sales and profits. They also note that paired with a lower take rate for Etsy when a merchant makes a sale, revenue and profit margins should contract a bit as well. Remember, Etsy charges about the lowest fees in the online kind of industry. Sellers, of course, squawked when they raised the rate from, I think it was 5% up to 6.5%, but that still leaves them well below the 10% on Mercari and the up to 15% that you see on eBay. If that continues to be the case and the numbers continue to impact their profit, don't be surprised, you heard it here first, if Etsy looks at another increase in their final value fees. So, not great news at Etsy or eBay looking forward into Q4. Hopefully that doesn't affect any of us individually, but that is definitely problematic for both of those companies, and their stocks both reflected that. Last thing in the news, Poshmark is about to celebrate their second secondhand Sunday. The resale marketplace Poshmark encourages consumers to embrace circular fashion the Sunday after Thanksgiving. They will celebrate this second annual Secondhand Sunday, November 26th. They're launching an exciting lineup of live shopping events. To encourage sellers to source and list these trending items for holiday shoppers, Poshmark is offering a $50,000 listing challenge. So if you are a seller on Poshmark, be sure you look into that. They say, when we introduced Secondhand Sunday last year, our goal was not just to create a moment, but a movement encouraging people to think differently about shopping secondhand during the holidays, said Manish Chandra, Poshmark's founder and CEO. More people than ever turn to secondhand gifting, and this year we are combining the impact of shopping secondhand with the magic and human connection of shopping live, creating an entirely new Secondhand Sunday experience for our community. Posh Shows has transformed the shopping experience on Poshmark, with shoppers spending over 70 million minutes watching Posh Shows last month alone. That's pretty awesome, and we're excited to bring that addictive, fun live experience to holiday shoppers this year. There's some summary here. They're going to do a Gifts Galore Posh Show unwrapping 2023 holiday trends. That is on November 16th. upcycling posh shows with Shop Goodwill. Poshmark is teaming up with ShopGoodwill.com, an e-commerce auction platform created and operated by the nonprofit to celebrate Secondhand Sunday. ShopGoodwill.com will bring their hashtag Create Opportunity campaign to life by showing that the simplest action can create opportunity for a community through a series of more than 30 posh shows, which will run from November 19th through November 26th. Creators can demonstrate how to upcycle one-of-a-kind items purchased from the shopgoodwill.com and sell their handmade products live. Poshmark will donate 10% of net proceeds from each show back to shopgoodwill.com. So that's a win-win for everybody. They will also have a unique lineup of live shopping events on the actual day of the event, Secondhand Sunday. Throughout the day, shoppers can tune in to real-time virtual live shopping events highlighting popular gifting categories. For every purchase made during a Posh show on Secondhand Sunday, Poshmark will contribute an additional $1 to its partnership with Veritree to fund tree planting projects in the U.S. and Canada up to a maximum of $10,000. Throughout these events, Poshmark will highlight insights from its 2023 holiday trend report. There is a link in this article to that report. They have some very interesting stuff in there. I'm not going to cover it in this episode, but if you're interested in that, there will be a link in this article, which I will have linked to down below, that you can go check that out. There's exclusive data and insights to help influence holiday sourcing and shopping. Frankly, if you haven't done your holiday sourcing at this point, it's probably too late because Thanksgiving is like 10 days away. but nonetheless, there's some really interesting data on that presentation. And again, to encourage sellers to source and list these trending items for holiday shoppers, Poshmark is offering a $50,000 listing challenge. Any seller who lists a new item on Poshmark between now and November 19th is eligible to win a $10,000 cash prize. So Poshers, unite, get busy, get listing, get some stuff up there, and take part in that opportunity to win up to $10,000. So that's pretty cool. That is going to put a wrap on this week's news. Not a ton of stuff going on, but some really interesting stuff, particularly if you are a seller on Poshmark or a user of Pirate Ship. So let me know in the comments down below what you think of any of that. I know this seems to be a point where a lot of my viewers, particularly on YouTube, leave us. So thank you for listening to the news. If you got something from this today, please do me a favor and hit that thumbs up button. If you're not currently a follower of the podcast or a subscriber to the YouTube channel, which I know a lot of you are not, please consider doing that as well. Now, for the book lovers among you, let's talk about some stuff I sold here last week. It was another pretty good week here at the Galaxy. If you follow me over on Instagram, shameless plug, at Galaxy CDs Rocks, I posted, I think I sold 90-some listings last week. I did pick up nearly 300 new items. Also last week, I was at a huge estate sale. There must have been 1,500 or 2,000 books. I walked out of there with about 200 of them, which was amazing. Got a really good deal on them as well. I spent $225 on just short of 200 books, so that's a win in my book. Then I went to the Dayton area, I don't know if it's Friends of the Library sale or whatever, and picked up another almost 100 books there on Friday. Shout out to some loyal viewers and listeners that I ran into at those various sales. It's always nice to see people out in the flesh at some of these events and some of these sales. So that was really cool. It was very nice to see you guys. And thanks, as always, for chasing me down and saying hi. So let's get into some of the stuff that sold here. This first item was over on Etsy, Roman Coins and Their Values by David R. Sear. This was a revised edition hardcover in its dust jacket from 1970. His books on Roman coins, there are a whole series of them. They all seem to do fairly well. They're not huge money, but they're generally in that $15 to $30 range. This one was part of a big lot of books that I own for under 16 cents. It sold for $21.99 plus shipping. This book was part of that same lot. I Never Saw a Beetle. It was a novel by Richard Courtney on Cross Bridges Publishing. It was a hardcover with its dust jacket from 1983. This was a humorous book written in the 1980s. Not a ton of them out there. Again, part of the big lot for 16 cents. I sold it on eBay for $24.99, again, plus media mail shipping. Another sale on eBay, a set of books. I picked this up at an estate sale gosh, maybe a month ago for $2. It is a Walt Disney Studio story for a day for every day of the year. It was published by Golden Books. 4 books, all hardcovers, in a cardboard sleeve. The jacket, the sleeve was not in particularly fantastic shape, but this set actually in its box is a little difficult to find. Again, I picked it up for a couple of bucks. I had it listed for $29.99 or best offer. I received an offer of $25.99 plus shipping and went ahead and sent this on its way. So I was at a sale about 10 days ago, and there were 3 big stacks of old yearbooks. And I've talked about yearbooks on this show pretty regularly and how some estate sales have really gotten expensive selling yearbooks. Some of them have gone to $5, $10. I was at one not too long ago. They were actually asking $12 and $13 for these yearbooks. And that, my friends, is out of my price range. but this was an estate sale with some sellers. I had never been at one of their sales before. I didn't recognize them. I saw these yearbooks in 3 stacks. So I just went out and said, hey, you got in the back there, I think it was 25 yearbooks. And that was actually 30 yearbooks. Said, what would you take if I just took all of them? And the kid I talked to went over and talked to whoever was running the show. And they came back and said, would you do $25 for all of them? And I was like, yeah, I guess I could do that. So I picked up about 30 yearbooks for less than $1 a piece. This is one of the first ones that have sold. These were all fairly obscure schools, so this is going to be really interesting to see how these do. Obviously, with this one sale, I'm already in the money on this deal, so I can't really lose at this point, but this was the Daytona Beach Junior College Highlander, a yearbook from 1963. I listed this thing for $34.99 plus shipping. It got a watcher. I sent out my normal 15% off offer and sold it for $29.74 plus shipping. Again, after the fees are deducted from eBay, I essentially have paid for that entire lot of yearbooks. So I'm pretty stoked about that. Moving on, but staying with eBay, How to Do Things, published by the Farm Journal back in 1919. This was an illustrated hardcover published by the Wilmer Atkinson Company. This was part of an estate sale, pretty much a big lot that I did at a big estate sale. I bought probably 40 or 50 bucks books. I paid about $1.50 a piece for these. This one I had listed for $32.99 plus shipping. I received an offer of $30 and went ahead and sold it. Continuing over on eBay, a DVD, Crowded House, Farewell to the World from 2006. This was a 10th anniversary edition 2-DVD set. Fun fact, Crowded House is my favorite band of all time. I actually have a copy of this DVD, so when I picked this up at an estate sale for $2, I listed it for $34.99 or best offer, received an offer of $30, and sent it on its way. Another one over on eBay. This is another item that I picked up at an estate sale. I paid a whole dollar for this. Combat Engineer, the Soldier's Manual MOS 12B, skill levels 1 and 2. the military and all their different numbers. FM5-12B1N2. This was a U.S. Army publication from 1977. It was a big manual. It was probably 3 inches thick, 8.5 by 11. Massive, massive Combat Engineer's Soldier's Manual. Again, picked it up for next to nothing, had it listed for and sold it for $34.99 plus medium mail shipping. Interesting old book. This was another one that was part of a big lot of books. This was from the 15,000 book lot. So I'm into this one for less than 5 cents. The National Fire Codes for Extinguishing and Alarm Equipment by the NFPA, illustrated hardcover from 1943. Again, into it for less than 5 cents, sold over on eBay for $34.99 plus medium mail shipping. Another of those yearbooks. Now I'm clearly in the money. this is from Parkersburg, West Virginia, the Parisian, from 1936, Parkersburg High School yearbook. This was in actually fairly rough condition. The last one of these that sold on eBay sold for $49.99, but this, on my particular version of this, the cloth cover had pretty significant staining, so I went a little bit lower on mine, given the condition relative to the one that I saw sold. I probably should have asked more for it because it sold within 24 hours for $39.99 plus shipping. Again, I'm into it for less than a dollar, so really nice flip and puts me well into the money on that yearbook purchase. So sometimes I just pick up random goofy stuff that I just think nobody's going to have, and there's a good likelihood that nobody's ever going to want or need, but I'm going to be the only one that has one in the event that somebody is actually looking for it. And this, my friends, is definitely one of those. I picked this up at an estate sale a couple of weeks ago for 50 cents. It is the report of the National Bipartisan Commission on Central America from March 1984. This was from the University of Dayton Library. It looks like it was probably printed or typed out there. It was essentially in like a binder that was all taped together. It was complete. It had everything in it. It's a government report on Central America. This would have been during the time of like the Nicaraguan War and the Iran-Contra and all that kind of stuff. So there's some really interesting historical stuff here. I couldn't find anything like this anywhere when I was looking it up while I was at the sale. So I asked the lady, I'm like, how much for this random like ex-library thing? And she said, how about 50 cents? I'm like, I'm in. I listed it for, I think $36.99 plus shipping over on eBay, $42 with free shipping on Mercari, which oddly enough is where it sold. I would not have expected this to be an item that sold on Mercari, if it sold at all anywhere, to be completely honest, but $42 with free shipping on Mercari for this report of the National Bipartisan Commission on Central America. I will pick up these old government books almost every time I see them. They usually do pretty well. You can usually get them for super cheap. If you've got the place to store them, they're not fast movers by any stretch of the imagination. This one's selling within a couple of weeks, notwithstanding. That's not the norm. But this is a pretty cool from, you know, 50 cents to 40 odd dollars. And here's your flip of the week. I picked this up at an estate sale for $2, maybe 6 weeks ago, part of a pretty good sized lot of religious books that I picked up. The New Roman Missal from Father Lassance was published in 1945 by the Benziger brothers. This was a nice leather bound book in another leather snap cover case. So a really unusual piece. This book was selling anywhere from about $149 to about $229 from what I could find when I researched it while I was there. So I went ahead and grabbed this thing for a couple of bucks. I had it listed for $199 or best offer. I got an offer of $169, which I went ahead and accepted. So really nice flip to close out a really nice week of sales here at the Galaxy. Hopefully, your fourth quarter is starting to gear up, the doom and gloom from the platforms themselves notwithstanding. Let me know. If you're watching on YouTube, you can leave me a comment down below how things are going as we ramp up into Thanksgiving week, which will be here. Man, before you know it, it's like literally 10 days away at this point. So fourth quarter will be in full effect, and then we'll only be a few weeks out from essentially the deadline to get things shipped on time to receive by Christmas. So we're up against it. We got essentially 5 weeks left probably of good, strong sales. Unless your business is like mine, where for the last 4 years in a row, January has actually been better than December anyway. So hopefully, knock wood, that trend continues. Again, let me know in the comments how your business is and how you're doing. As I always say, if you got something out of this, please leave me a thumbs up over on YouTube. If you're not currently a subscriber or a follower of the podcast, please consider doing that as well. And if you would share this with any of your like-minded reselling friends who might find some value in it, that would also be terrific. Until next time, my friends, it's time to sell. Thanks, guys.
You have been listening to the Galaxy CDs Rocks and Flips Reseller Talk podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you again next time.